Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
First Timothy chapter 1, and as you're turning there, you know, there's a lot of things that cause a lot of stress during the holidays. You know that. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. One of the things that causes me a lot of stress and anxiety is, am I going to get what I really want for Christmas? You know, when I was a kid, and still do, make a list, and yeah, I hope I get this for Christmas, and I hope I get that for Christmas. It's the buildup, it's the anticipation, it's the excitement. Am I going to get what I want for Christmas only to be, well, watch this.
Come on, kid.
Ho, ho, ho.
Come on.
Come on up. Come on up there. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Ho, ho, ho. Then what's your name, little boy?
Hey, kid. Hurry up. The store's closing.
Come on. Listen, little boy, we've got a lot of people waiting here, so get going.
What do you want for Christmas, little boy?
My mind had gone blank. Frantically, I tried to remember what it was I wanted. I was blowing it, blowing it.
Come on, kid. How about a nice football?
Football? Football? What's a football? Without conscious will, my voice squeaked out,
football. Okay, get him out of here.
A football? Oh, no. Okay, what was I doing?
Wake up, stupid. Wake up. No.
No, I want an official red undercover knife. Shoot you in a jet with any metal air rifle.
You'll shoot your eye out, kid. Merry Christmas. Ho, ho, ho.
So the key is don't get your hopes up, because you probably won't get what you want anyway. So I'm part of a group online. It's like a group for people who are, you know, interested in science. And a couple weeks ago, someone posted the question, what's the biggest mystery in the universe that you'd like to have answers to? And so let me just share with you some of the comments that came with that question. Someone wrote, is consciousness and self-awareness an emergent property based on the complexity of communication between neurons? Yeah, I mean, that's a good question to have answered. It's a mystery in the universe. Someone else wrote, how does gravity fit into the unified theory? That's a good question. Someone wrote, is the afterlife a fairy tale? Someone wrote, why are we here? Someone else wrote, why is kindness so hard for so many? Who created God? Is time travel possible? Do UFOs and life on other planets exist? Someone wrote, I'd like to know what we don't know. Wouldn't we all? Someone wrote, I'd like to know the mystery of quantum entanglement. And then the questions got a little bit more personal. Why are my socks missing? Two go in and one comes out. Someone else wrote, why did my brother-in-law become a political idiot? Why fat chance and slim chance mean the same thing? Someone wrote women. Someone wrote men. Someone wrote, where's my 10 millimeter wrench? And my favorite to the question, what is the biggest mystery in the universe you'd like to have answers to? Someone wrote, who really did let the dogs out? I thought about that question. And if I were to answer that question, and with a serious response, my question would be this. How did Almighty God of the universe become a child? You may not have a problem comprehending how God Almighty became a child, but for me, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that. For me, it's a lot easier to think of God as all-powerful, you know, thunderous, sovereign, all-knowing, mighty God. But it takes a lot for me to wrap my mind around God as a child, as a baby, as an infant. I have a hard time wrapping my head around that. But that's exactly what the Holy Scriptures call us to. They tell us to reflect on God as an infant, a baby, a child. And so to begin this series that we've been looking at some of the great unto passages of the Bible, we began this series by looking at that great passage in Isaiah 9 where the prophet says, "Unto us a child is given, unto us a son is born." The mystery of the incarnation, the Word becoming flesh. It's a mystery. Then we looked at that great passage in Matthew where Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have others do unto you." What we call the golden rule, to live a life focused on giving of ourselves to others. John Wesley once said that there is no holiness apart from social holiness. And by that he meant, you know, living a holy, pious life is good, but what good is our holiness if we're not living it unto others? So either we're living solely for ourselves, S-O-L-E-L-Y, or we're living wholly for God and for others. Then last week we looked at that passage in Luke chapter 10, where we are to say unto them, "The kingdom is unto you." We have a message to share. And so we can enjoy the holidays, we can have fun, we can enjoy the movies and the elves and the Santas and the grandmas getting run over by the reindeer. We can enjoy all that. But let us not forget the main message of Jesus and his kingdom. Today I want to look at another great unto passage. This is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. I'll read 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 through 17, and then I'm going to read verse 17 from the King James Version of the Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. "I thank Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life." And here's verse 17. "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Let me read that one more time. "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Father, this time of year, we are reminded of the incarnation. The Word became flesh, and this baby, born not only the King of the Jews, but the King of the world, help us to reflect upon his kingship. And all God's people said, amen, amen. Paul here in this passage begins with thanksgiving. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord. And so on this first day of winter, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, on Judy's birthday, all throughout this Christmas week, this Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day, all through until the end of the year, on New Year's Eve, on New Year's Day, and all throughout the new year in 2026, let's be a people who give thanks to God. Amen? Amen. And if you're having a hard time thinking of reasons to give thanks, well, Paul gives us several incredible reasons to give thanks. Verse 12, he says, I thank God for strength. Verse 13, I thank God for his mercy. Verse 14, I thank God for his grace, for faith and love that was shown to me in Jesus Christ. And if that's not enough, look at verses 15 and 16. We are to give thanks for the gift of God's salvation and for eternal life. Verse 16, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. This is the reason for the season. Remember that passage I read to you earlier, what the angel of the Lord said to Joseph? The angel said, she, Mary, will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's the whole reason for Jesus coming into this world. This is why Jesus came as a baby, to save sinners, all sinners. That's all of us. Now, you may not think that you're up there with Paul as the worst of sinners. Jesus came to save even mediocre sinners. You may think you are up there with Paul as the worst of all sinners. Guess what? Jesus came to save even the worst of the worst. Jesus came to save all people from their sin. We are all sinners. We are all broken. And Christ came to save us. You know, Charles Wesley, the brother of John, wrote some of the most incredible hymns in all of church history. And I'm thinking of his great hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. He wrote many, many verses, but I'll just share these two. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing. If I had a thousand tongues and if I could sing with a thousand tongues, this is what I would sing, wrote Wesley. My great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. And let me read verse 4. He breaks the power of canceled sin and he sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. I love that verse. Christ breaks the power, the chains of sin, and he sets us free. That's enough to give God thanks and praise. Thank you, God, for coming into this world in the person of Christ and setting humanity on a whole different course. We shudder to think what life would have been like had Christ not come to redeem us from our sin. Every week in this series, I've read to you a portion of this book from Dr. D. James Kennedy. He's passed on, and he was a Presbyterian minister, so he was a Calvinist. So I didn't agree with his theology. But I try to learn from everyone, and Dr. D. James Kennedy taught me at least two things. When I was a teenager in my church, I took the Evangelism Explosion program that he developed there in his church in Florida. And I, as I've grown and I've matured theologically, I've since adjusted my approach to evangelism to reflect a more Wesleyan Arminian perspective. But taking that course as a teenager and learning how to use Scripture and to talk to people about Jesus gave me the confidence that I could actually talk to people about Jesus. I can do this. And so for that, I'm forever grateful. And then the other thing for which I'm very grateful is this incredible book that he wrote, What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? And let me just read to you a paragraph here. The religion of Jesus Christ has done more to elevate moral standards than any other force in history. And I have to warn you here, he gets a little graphic in this description here that I'm going to read to you. But this is the world that we live in. He goes on and he says this, had Jesus never come, it's unlikely the Ten Commandments would be known beyond the Jews. Had Jesus never come, many of us, those of us who are of Anglo-Saxon stock, might still be drinking out of the human skulls as they used to. Had Jesus never come, the Scandinavians might still be out plundering and terrorizing their neighbors as their ancestors, the Vikings, used to, until the gospel of Christ took hold. Had Jesus never come, many of the formerly cannibalistic tribes of Africa, Asia, or the Americas would no doubt still be gorging on human flesh. But Jesus did come, and he elevated morality and life on earth to a much higher level than ever before, as many in the West continue to reject him and his standards of right and wrong. We seem to be regressing to the vile and unspeakable sins that besmirched the ancient pagan world, which is why we need Jesus more than ever. What if Jesus had never been born? This is an extra copy that I have. If somebody really, really wants this, see me after church, and I'll give it to you as a Christmas gift. It'll be a good read for you. We can be set free from sin. That's holiness. Holiness means that Christ breaks the power of canceled sin, and we can be set free to live as God fully intends us to live. No longer must we be chained to that which binds us and keeps us down. We can be set free from sin. And then what Paul does here in this passage in 1 Timothy is he reminds us that God is king. He says there's only one God, and he is the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, and to him is all the honor and glory bestowed upon him forever and ever and ever. There is only one God, and he is the king. We look at the baby in the manger, and we see God Almighty in the flesh as a child who is the king. If you were here Friday night, we showed the movie Journey to Bethlehem. I want to show you just a three-minute clip, a scene of that moment when Jesus was born. And they did such a beautiful job of showing how that moment when Jesus was born, everybody, from the shepherds to the wise men to really all creation, somehow knew that this was no ordinary baby. This was the king.
Oh,
unto the King, eternal, immortal, and invisible. Jesus is the newborn King. But we have a problem. America has a problem. Let's talk a little bit about the American Revolution, 1776. America was founded in large part because we have an aversion to kings. King George III, and we did not want a monarchy. And it's built into our DNA as Americans. No king. We didn't want a king in the very beginning. We don't want a king now. And as recently as just a couple of months ago, there have been marches all across this country and protests. No kings. We don't want a king. No kings. We have an aversion to kings. But I want to say to you this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent that America absolutely needs a king. One king. We desperately need this king. We sing about it a lot this time of year, a lot. We sang about it in church this morning. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. We sing about it, but do we really want a king? Do we need a king? We absolutely need King Jesus. But for Jesus to be king, we must bow and submit to him as king. We must become his subjects. I absolutely love this picture. I think this picture that you're going to see here is one of the most underrated pictures this time of year. Even St. Nicholas must bow down to the King. I was at the grocery store 2 weeks ago, and I'm standing there in line, just waiting. It's kind of a long line, and people in front of me were taking their time, blah, 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 you know. And I was looking at the magazine rack, and something caught my attention. So this is the picture I took. So there's four magazines there. The first one is some Pokemon something. I don't know what that's about. Underneath that is Ariana Grande. And, you know, I have nothing against her. She's a great singer. She hosted Saturday Night Live last night. Tremendous voice. Then Jesus came in third. And then the National Enquirer. I'm grateful that Jesus was at least above the National Enquirer. Okay. But I got to looking at that, and I go, this is not right, you know. This, so I took the liberty and I made a change. I put Jesus. Yeah, I was really bored in line, but I put Jesus first, you know. And I go, that's a little bit better, but something's still not right. And so I made this change. Please don't tell the manager at Winco that it was me, okay? I could be banned for life for messing with the magazine rack. But the point is this, for Jesus to be king, he doesn't take just one slot in our life. I mean, if he's truly going to be king, he must be king over every single aspect of our lives. And that's what's missing in America today. We may sing the songs, but is he truly king and ruler over every aspect of our lives? As John the Baptist said when he saw his cousin Jesus, he said, I must decrease and he must increase. That's a good first step for Jesus becoming king. Less me, less pride, less anger, less drama, less gossip, less bitterness, less complaining, less selfishness and more Jesus. He must be Lord and King. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to Him belongs all the honor and the glory forever and ever.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.